We appreciate Joe's labor of love many times. And we're going to turn the podium over to Brother Joe Panucci. And his subject is Watchman, What of the Night? Watchman, What of the Night? Brother Joe, Lord be with you.
Thank you very much, Brother Ruman, for that beautiful introduction. Friends, I am very, very happy indeed to be with you in this convention. It's always a privilege to be with the Lord's people. And I'm also happy that my wife is here with me. And my daughter, Liz, wish to be remembered to you. As Brother Bill mentioned to you, we will give a report on the trip in Australia, and which time I'll also bring you the loving greeting from them, from the different location which we had the privilege to visit with. Watchmen, what of the night? In view of what's taking place today in the world, Bible students begin to ask many questions, such as, will it be this time that the prophets of Joel begin to fulfill, which he says, I will gather all the nations, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jephthah, the valley of judgment. Again, another question. In Zephaniah 3:8, my determination, said the Lord, is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdom to pour upon them my indignations. Again, another question. In Zechariah 14:1-2, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided into the midst of thee, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. Another question in Jeremiah, which you don't have the time to read it, but I'll open your Bible to Ezekiel 38:15-16. And thou shalt come from the place out of the north part, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company in their mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when thou shalt be satisfied in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. We all know the situation in the Persian Gulf, which became extremely tense. In the meantime, many governments throughout the world will strive to prevent the situation from erupting into a shooting war, which might well become a worldwide situation. On the other hand, the lesson teaches that whatever there is in armament raised among the nation, war is inevitable. And the war today could easily mean the end of whatever civilization is left in the world. From the human standpoint of this situation, the outlook is very dark. Even though the Western world feel reasonable sure of a victory in case of war, This is a small consolation for this country and also for other industrial nations. For us, the bright day of hope which we have is that the Lord's at the helm, and that whatever that come, the outcome will be according to God's plan. And those whose spiritual visions based on the shore of a prophecy recognize that we are indeed in the morning of a new day. But still dark, very dark, so far as the world is concerned. Let us open the Bible to Isaiah 21, verse 11, 12. Perhaps there we can see a little ray of hope and also be able to detect some of the event which has been taking place today in the world, especially through the Persian Gulf. It reads, "He called me out of Osiris, watchmen, what are the night? Watchmen, what are the night?" The watchman said, "The morning cometh, and also the night. If he will inquire, inquire ye, return come." We all know that the symbolical language of the Bible is a beautiful and meaningful from both the Old and New Testament. They both give us a picture of the events now taking place in the world. And the prophecy identify the present period of human experience as a nightmare. But we may call it a transition period, in which man-made rulership based upon selfishness, a human philosophy, is about to crumble. And the long-promised kingdom of the Lord will be established. In Jesus, in the preview of events at the end of the age, indicate that a night of trouble will mean the stress of nations and turmoil. And speaking to us, Jesus also said that when you see these things begin to pass, we shall look up and lift up our heads, knowing that our deliverance draws near. Many of the important prophecies of the Bible are presented in a symbolical form in order to conceal its meaning until God's due time for the prophecy to be clear understood. This, or the symbolic text which we will consider, in reality embraces human experience on the earth from the fall of a man in the Garden of Eden until his restoration from sin and death. We may say a night time of darkness followed by daytime of light. We all know that in today's world, no matter what segment of a society we look at, we find fear and turmoil. Crime is increasing. Drug abuse is beyond control. Thousands will die with AIDS, no cure in sight. Dishonesty in places both in business and government becomes increasingly shocking. The world is in a state of confusion. They do not know that the Armageddon of the nation is essential in order to prepare the way for a full establishment of the Lord's promised kingdom of Christ. And that universal and lasting peace comes to the world only through the agency of the Messiah kingdom. And those whose spiritual vision is based upon the sure word of the Lord and the prophecy recognize that we are indeed in the morning of the new day, yet it is very dark. In considering the text of our subject, you notice that in the prophecy, one important location is mentioned, Sears. If you look at the map, who will be on the right-hand side of the map. The mountain range of Hoseas in the old biblical time extended along the east side of the Dead Sea all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba. According to the book of Deuteronomy 2:4-5, God gave this land to the children of Esau. Let us read the instruction given to the Israelites by the Lord. In command thou the people of saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourself, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you their land, no, not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Manasseh into Esau for possessions. It is interesting, because down throughout the century, this land inspired of the European control has always remained in the hands of the Arab world, the center of Esau. We all know that prior to the 20th century, the Arab were considered as a people whose chief occupation was to ride camels over desert land, and in order to survive, they raised animals. That type of a life has changed. Symbolically speaking, almost the entire Arab world is floating on a gigantic ocean of oil, probably the largest in the world. And these oils are being pumped off the ground by the millions of a gallon has made the Middle East strategically be very, very important in the eyes of the world. They have a potent weapon with which to wage their economic war with the rest of the world. It is that oil almost lubricates the economy wheels of the world, from a simple coffee maker to a jumbo jet 747. Without oil, everything will stop. For instance, the United States consumes 18 million barrel oil per day, 6 billion barrel per year. It has been estimated that without the use of fuel, power machinery, it would take 30 millions of horses and mules in order to bring the harvest to the United States alone. Who could have imagined that these small and weak country nations, who perhaps by the Lord's permission were blessed in the land of Hoseas, which is such a vast reserve of oil, could cause a chaos throughout the world. This is another indication that we are living in the last days and that the prophecy of the Bible has been fulfilled. The Bible tells us that in the last days, the weak shall say, I'm strong. And it is truly ironical that the small handful of Arab, by the simple act of closing the valve and the flow of oil, can turn the economy of a larger part of the world into chaos. Now, if you open your Bible to the book of Genesis 17:8, we find another promise was made by God to the ancient people, the Jewish nations. Let's read it. He says, and I will give unto thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. If you look on the map, on your left-hand side, you see the land of Canaan. We have noticed that the Lord has been fair with both people. To the Arabs, He gave them Manasseh, to the Israelites, the land of Canaan. Why then such a bitterness prevail among them? What's the reason for it? The prophecy must be fulfilled because he was to be so. Now, if you open your Bible to Ezekiel 35, 2 and 5, let us read it. This is what it says, Son of a man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it, and say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the swords in time of their calamity. In time that their iniquity had an end, I will lay thy city waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Now you notice the last lines of verse 5, which it says, In time that their iniquity had an end. This indicates to us that their last iniquity has not yet taken place. Therefore, the confrontation between the Lord and the Arab world has not as yet taken place. It is interesting, God's dealing with the people of Israel more or less serves as a key to unlock many of the Bible prophecy. This knowledge serves well as sort of a field glass through which it is possible to see the future more clearly as the plan of God continues to develop. Remember, the watchman was asked, What are the night twice? Then he said, From Seir there comes a cry, whether imaginative or real, asking for news, new news about the future. Now the answer is intentionally ambiguous. The morning comes, and so does the night. Now if you open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah 30, verse 3, and then again to verse 7, we find the morning and also the night of the watchman. Let us read verse 3. It says, The day comes, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of all my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their father, and they shall possess it. Brethren, this is the morning for them. One would suppose that this would be a time of a great rejoicing for them, and we know that in time it will be. But Jeremiah in the 7th verse of chapter 30 indicate that a night of a trouble will come upon them. Let us read and see what it says. For the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be safe of it. The regathering of the people of the land of Canaan has been very difficult. Keep in mind that they are surrounded by 20 hostile nations, about 120 million of Arabs. Their enemy, whose holy purpose is to destroy these little nations and drive them from the land they given to them by the Lord, is what they intend to do. There is no way out. There is no way that they can appease the Arab world. Their intention is to destroy these little nations. In 1964, this is what happened. Israel needed very much oil for the economy and also for the army. They needed 464,000 barrels of oil every day. And indirectly, not from the Arabs, They can only get 220,000 barrels per day. And they need the oil very desperate. They tried to drill oil throughout the land without any success. A stranger came from Texas, a businessman by the name of Jack Sherman, and remind them of the prophecy of Deuteronomy 33:24, that in the land that was given to Asher, there is oil. Now, if you look at the map, Asher is way on the top by the Mediterranean Sea. You recall then when the Israelites entered the land of Canaan, the land was divided among the 12 tribes. And the name of one of the tribes was Asher. And the land, as I mentioned it before, is located on the north part of the Mediterranean shore. Now please open your Bible to Deuteronomy 33:24. Hear Moses before his death, blessed the son of Israel. Let us read it. This is what it says, and there over Asher, he said, more blessed than the sons of Asher, may be favored by his brother, and may he dip his foot in oil. Now turn your Bible to 32:13 in the same book. This is what he said. And he made him suck honey from the rock of oil, from the flinty rock. Open your Bible to Isaiah 45:3. He said, and I will give you the treasure of the darkness and the hidden wealth of a secret place, in order that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. Now open your Bible to Isaiah 61:5, which he says, and a stranger will stand and pasture your flock, and foreigner will be your farmer and your wine pressers. In other words, brethren, he took a stranger from Texas to go to the land of Asher, as the Bible indicated, to find and drill oil for the little nation of Israel. It's interesting, isn't it? Now, this is the interesting point. They started to drill oil, and they went down 1,500 feet. And they anticipated a tremendous deposit of oil. Now, in any other wells in the world, up to 900 feet, the temperature is 105 degrees. And beyond that depth, the temperature could be very dangerous. In the land of Asher, on the other hand, they went down 900 feet, and the temperature was 105 degrees. They went down 1,200 feet, and the temperature was 105 degrees. They went down to 500 degrees, and the temperature still was 105 degrees. Incredible, isn't it? By the overruling providence of God, among the 20 nations or the Arab, there is really no unity. In fact, we have noticed this in the last crisis, the Persian Gulf. Recently, a newspaper reporter wrote that the Syrians hated the Iraqis. The Yemenis hate the Saudi. the Jordanian had the Kuwaites, and all of them had the Jew. Now, we should not endeavor to interpret the detail of the prophecy in advance, but it seemed that much more trouble and cause for fear is in store for Israel and also for the whole world before the Lord fulfills his promise to deliver them from their enemy. And they must realize that it is the Messiah that will come to their salvations. There is no way out. They have to accept the Messiah. The Messiah, the only salvation. Because eventually, they also will be isolated completely from the rest of the world, including the United States. It's interesting. Come down from California, pick up a newspaper. There was an article about the situation in Israel. You all know about the Dome and the Rock, which is the sacred place for the Arabs. And unfortunately, this Dome on the Rock is situated precisely to the inch where the Temple of Solomon was built. And they have investigated precisely that that's the place where it was. Now, some of the Jewish zealots in Israel, what they wanted to do is to remove the Dome on the Rock and replace the Dome on the Rock with the Temple of Solomon. This, you know, it's almost impossible. But that's what they wanted to do. And do you know the excuse that they use and the reason why they want to put up a new temple there where the Dome of the Rock is? Because the only way that a Messiah will come to them is after they built the temple. There won't be no Messiah until they built the temple. And we also know the majority of the Jews who returned to Israel to promote the new state, the motive is not loyal for God or believe in his promises, but rather the political and economic necessity, plus we know their national pride. And in watching the fulfillment of the prophecy, we do not expect them to do otherwise. But in God's due time, as we know, they will become a believing people, not only in God, but also in Jesus, the Messiah, for which they have rejected. But this will not occur until, as we know, unfortunate, until their further punishment. And when there are beautiful promised land seem doomed to destruction, it will be then that the Lord will rescue them for their enemy, and out of their miracle will come the open of their eyes to see the glory of God and also to see the Messiah for which they have rejected. Now, as to the nature of the power God will use, we do not know. Just to keep in mind, two people claiming the same piece of land. And for this, there is a tremendous controversy among the nations of the world for the whole situation. But we know from the Word of God that in due time the Lord will accomplish his plan of salvation, not only for the Jewish people and for the Arab people, but also for the whole nation throughout the world. And we rejoice in the assurance that the divine plan to establish peace will continue to move on in spite of their effort. And since this call for setting aside all the institution of a suffrage by means of a time of a trouble, such as the nation ever see, we do not expect the people or the earth to experience peace. None whatsoever. There will not be no peace. There will be no security. There will be no happiness until the great time of tribulation shall accomplish the purpose for which it has been permitted by God. When that purpose has been accomplished, Then, as we know, the Lord will embrace every single human being in His loving kindness, that they all may call upon Him and serve Him with one consent. The kingdom program of education will not only acquaint the people with the true loving God, but through the agency of the kingdom, they will be assisted in eradication of sin and selfishness from their heart. And in place of this, God will write His own principle of righteousness. Positively, we know that with the rising of the Sun of Righteousness, the long dark night of suffering will come an end. And all the prophecy, all the prophetic world events are taking place before eyes. The Bible describes God's people as watchmen, especially in the early dawning of the divine interventions. And as we watch from our watchtower, we are able to detect the early sight of the dawn. And we are happy to report the good news to the people of the world that the morning of the kingdom blessings is about to be established. This is indeed a great hope for the world. But on the other hand, is a great dilemma. A great dilemma. Because as we endeavor to interpret the detail of the prophecy in advance, it seems that much trouble and fear is in store for the world in general. For this reason, you recall many times that Jesus admonished His disciples to us, was to watch, watch. And the Apostle Paul continued this line of thought when he speaking to the 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he said, "Ye brethren are all children of a light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." And then he continued to say, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." What Paul is telling us is that we as the Lord's people, because of a spiritual awake and watching, understand the meaning of the world event, and they are being permitted by the one wisdom. And there is a striking similarity between our text in the Apostle Paul's statement concerning the day of the Lord. When the watchman was asked about the night, the watchman replied that the morning is coming, and also the night. And Paul explained that with the dawning of the day of the Lord, there will be a sudden destruction which will come upon the world. It is interesting. One of the Revised Bible translated the question this way: the morning is here, and also the night. This is indeed a paradox version. This version reveals a time of confusion, a conflict between the light and darkness, truth and error, advancement and retrogression. This seems to be very well described, the expression, the morning is here, and also the night. How could that be? You either have the night or you have the morning. It may surprise to some to be told that the last 75 years have been more significant in the world in the increase of our knowledge, education, invention, communication, transportation, and all sort of device of a convenience that it did the almost 6,000 years of a human history. These change came so fast that most people pay no attention. In fact, most of us, seem to take these things for granted as though they have always been part of our lives. The rapid increase of knowledge in essentially every aspect of human life have also been with us, and also has created lots of problems. The glamour for freedom in the human right is causing an alarming situation which many countries cannot cope with it. For many years, students of the Bible have looked upon this increase of knowledge as being a fulfillment of the prophecy related to the end of the present sinful social order. And in spite of this, and as a result of the phenomenal increase of knowledge, many people, as we know, have benefited by it. But not until recently, years, the potential destruction of the human race developing by science became a frightening reality. Because as we know, at the push of a button, the human race can disappear completely out of the face of the earth. And this is not a joke. And as Jesus so clearly stated in Matthew 24:22, there are less those days are shortened, all mankind will perish. These are the words of the Master. Now we know that when Jesus made that statement, the weapon of his days were swords and spears. It was impossible then to destroy all life on the face of the earth. As we know, in ancient time, duels were fought with the definite knowledge that one or the other in the contending party will die. But this knowledge did not prevent them overtaking chance with death. The same principle holds true today with the nation of the world. The selfish human heart cannot be softened by fear, not even the fear of a terrible atomic and nuclear warfare. If you open your Bible in Zechariah 14:6-7, we have an interesting prophecy in this book. Zechariah 14:6-7. Let us read. It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not a day nor a night. But it shall come to pass that at even time it shall be light. The understanding of this prophecy is that we are not to think of the day of the Lord as being one in the early stage, all bright and without trouble of any kind. In contrast to the full brightness of the day of the Lord, when the work assigned to the Spirit or the plan of God is completed, the prophecy revealed that its beginning is very, very dark. One aspect of the prophecy or the prophetic time of trouble is that it comes upon the world as a thief in the night. It's a thief in the light. And Jesus illustrated this by referring to the days of Noah, the time when the ark was being prepared as a means of saving Noah and his family. He said that the people then went on with their regular pursuit of life and knew not of the coming flood until it was upon them. So it would be, he said, in the days of the Son of Man, Luke 17:26-27. We as a Christian, and well aware of the plan of God, must watch and pray, because these are the word of the Master. To watch means that one must be awake. It means to be on guard, to stand firm in the truth and in the faith. We must also stay very close together to encourage one another in Christian love. It is true that we feel sorry to see the suffering throughout the world. But as we are on the tower watching, we rejoice in the realization that the Lord has a program for all His people, for all the people of the earth. And part of that program is to bless them and give them a life and prosperity and happiness. So our rejoicing is not in what happened throughout the world today, but in the promises of God to establish a new heaven and new earth wherein dwell righteousness. A righteous social order under the administration of who? Under the administration of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings. So we continue to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We do not know the answer. That is the complete answer to our Lord's Prayer. But the evidence around us is that we have already entered into the day which lead into it. But yet it's still dark. So our text so indicated it will continue to be partly light and partly dark until that blessed kingdom will be established. Even when this living generation is enlightened and become obedient to the kingdom law, each generation of the dead is awakened to life, then the lighting work will neither or will continue to lighten them. And thus it will be throughout the entire 1,000 years of the Great Restitution Project. But there will be no blessings. There will be no restitutions of any kind until the little flock is completed. Then the blessing will be manifested to every single human being on the face of the earth. We have to jump a little bit. I see our chairman is about to enter the podium here. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:14 made a very meaningful statement when he said, Ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. And we pray this is not the case with us. As we continue to walk in the footsteps of the Master and do our very best to obey and please Him, we must remember that knowledge brings a responsibility. And see all these things that have been taking place before our eyes. It is very important and indispensable that we stay very close to one another in Christian love, in the Christian fellowship. We should be faithful in the realization that soon that kingdom is to be established. But on the other hand, the situation in the world very, very dangerous, and that is very, very dark. It will continue to be dark until the kingdom will be established. Now, as we mentioned before, the prophets for which we have read to you, many questions today is in the mind of a Bible student when this will take place. Will the Persian Gulf will be the beginning of the Jacob trouble? We don't know. There is a possibility there will be the beginning. Things look bad, very bad. There is no way out. Keep in mind the situation at the Gulf. Iraq has invaded Kuwait. According to him, Kuwait in ancient time was part of Iraq. It was in the later years that Kuwait was partitioned off and gave it to the king of Kuwait. On the other hand, you have 120 million of Arabs with intention to destroy the land of Israel. At the moment, part of the Arab world, they are sympathetic to the United Nations in trying to convince King Hussein
to move away from Kuwait. Presently, I don't think he has any intention to do so. I think what he's trying to do is to get involved with Israel into the conflict. If he get Israel involved into the conflict, then Saudi Arabia, then Iraq will gain the sympathy.